And that's going to be the topic of our series, is Uncomfortable, the Awkward and Essential Challenge of Christian Community. You know, sometimes it feels a little bit uncomfortable, you know, in the situations, you know, that we get into in relationships and connecting with people and how all that kind of ties together. And we live in a world where it seems like everybody's looking for comfortable or a safe place. You know what I mean? A lot of colleges put these safe places together for kids and things. And instead of learning how to deal with things, it's really teaching them how to avoid the situation. And I know as a parent, it's good to put your kids in different situations so they learn how to deal with problems instead of hiding from them. Because the truth is, the more as a person, when we're forced out of our comfort zone, to me, the better it is for our life. And many times, it's those awkward situations that we get into from time to time is where we really learn how to lean on God, especially in those social issues that we struggle with from time to time. I believe we all do. Some people are more outgoing than others, and I know that, their personality traits, and that's good, but not everybody's like that. So sometimes we're thrown into things, and we're going to look today about how to deal with some of those uncomfortable situations, especially in the church. The scripture I want to read today is a couple passages, 1 Peter chapter 2, 4, and 5, and then 1 Peter 2, 9. And it says, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Then down in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come to you, and thank you so much for the blood of Jesus, Lord, that just washes us from our sins. We thank you that as we're cleansed, Lord, we have access to you. And Lord, right now, we just thank you for that access, and we ask that the Holy Spirit's presence is as strong today in helping us to be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us. Lord God, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to look at a subject that hopefully will make us feel uncomfortable. And then we'll be able to deal with it a little bit, okay? I'll be honest, I feel uncomfortable in certain situations. And I have to force myself to sometimes do things, you know? And I think that's good for us. So the first point we're going to look at today is consumerism versus spiritual growth. Consumerism versus spiritual growth. You know, this passage of Scripture tells us that we are living stones placed in the church. So, you know, God is wanting to build a spiritual house. And the church is not the building that we're in right now, but the church is us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church of God and its people. And how we interact with each other and how we connect with each other is very important because, you know, when we build a spiritual house, now, if you've ever built anything before, you have to stand up some walls, right? You need walls, and then you can put your roof on. Well, in those walls, it says there that God has placed us as spiritual stones in the wall. And you and I each have a place in the wall that we need to be in. Now, one thing I know about stones, my parents have a fireplace that was built out of stone. And I remember when they were building it, and all the stones were a little bit different. And, you know, they weren't brick. Where brick, you just kind of throw them all together and all of them look alike. But it's a stone fireplace. And I remember as they built it, they would have to lay things on the floor and they would see what stone fit in the right place. And see, that's what God does with us. All of us are different. You know, we all come in different shapes and sizes and maybe our approach to life. But yet God has placed us together in the wall, in the spiritual house of the church. Now, one thing about stones, if you just lay them on each other, they'll just push over real easy, but there's something that's unique that bricklayers or, you know, masonry people use, and that's called mortar. And that mortar is what makes the stones stick together, and our mortar is love, our love walk. It's important that you and I walk in love because everybody here is a little bit different. I mean, there's a lot of different people here. Don't look over right now, but they're looking at you. No, right? We're all unique in what God has placed inside of us. And those stones, like you and I, we have to connect together so that we're strong. And we need to believe, and you need to believe this in your heart, is that the reason why this church is holding together is because of you. You are doing your part. You're making that strong. Now what happens if some stone isn't there? You know what happens? There's a void. There's a hole there. And if you take one or two stones out, your wall's okay. But if you take too many stones out, that wall is weak and it can easily topple and fall. And see, we each have a part to play in God's kingdom and what it is that we're supposed to do. The problem is in our culture is that we're used to getting everything the way that we want at when we want. We don't have to wait. Just everything's our way. You know, I want it my way. And I even want it wrapped in a bow, right? That's how important things are to me, and we kind of get that way. It's kind of like a restaurant. I don't know about you, but you go to a restaurant, and you sit down, and you place your order. You tell them, I want onions, or I don't want onions. I want ketchup. I don't want ketchup. And they will take your order and get it just the way you want, hypothetically. Depends what restaurant sometimes, right? But isn't that a great concept? I don't know about you, but you can go to a place and you just tell them what you want and they'll come get it for you, bring it to you. But see, sometimes we bring that attitude into the church. We come to the church and we think that I want it my way. Now, I know that different people maybe connect in different environments. I know that because we're a little bit different. But I believe that God places people in the church. It's part of God's plan. And we need to be a part of God's plan and be where He wants us to be so that we can better serve Him and accomplish great things. Now, what happens is that, you know, we kind of look at things and there is no perfect church. You know, 20-some years ago, we started this church. And our goal was to start a perfect church. But the first week, it fell apart because I showed up. Right? I'm not perfect. And when I showed up, in my mind, it was perfect. But when I showed up for the first time, it wasn't perfect anymore. Because I'm not perfect. I have a lot of different issues in my life, just like other people have issues in their life. And, you know, people is the church. It's not just the building. The people are, you know. So when people aren't perfect, then the church can't be perfect. Now, I pastored a long time, 20-some years. And this is something I found out, is that when people stop getting something out of church, it's when they stop giving something in the church. And you can take that to the bank. When people get to the place in their life when it's all about them and they're not wanting to invest in something, it's all about taking away from something, then they lose connection. And that's not how we should look at church. I mean, why do people quit going to a restaurant? Maybe they didn't like something one time. Now, usually I give them the benefit of the doubt and go back again, especially if they have, you know, certain things that I want. But a lot of people aren't like that. You know, they just won't do that. And what happens is the fact that we start, you know, everybody likes to take selfies, but I think we need to start taking usies is what I call it. You know, it's not just about me, but it's about we. And that's how we have to look at God and His kingdom and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the local body. Now, we looked at this a little bit last week on our 4th of July message and talking about interdependence, and that's kind of why I wanted to go with this a little bit, and talking about uncomfortable situations, because we do need to be interdependent on each other. And what happens is that when we always turn inward and we look at life about what I can get out of it, instead of looking outward and what I can put into it, that's when we fail. That's when marriages fail. You know, people, you know, they disagree on money. They may disagree where they go on vacation or how to raise the kids sometimes. But usually what I found out, the main thing that causes a marriage to fail is selfishness. Is when they think it's all about them and it's about their needs being met. It's not about what I can invest in my partner. It's about what I can only get out of this relationship. And when that happens, that's when things start to unravel. So if you're in a relationship, you know, maybe stop looking in the mirror and start looking at your partner and saying, how can I make them better? Not trying to change them, ladies, you know what I'm saying? Come on now. A lot of women try to change their husbands, you know. But I'm just talking about how can I better invest in my husband or my wife and to make them better. So as we do that, you know, we need to stop looking for the perfect church and start making the church that we're in now better. How can we make it better? You know, a lot of people come to us with ideas from time to time. And those are great because they think of things that I don't know. Sometimes we can implement some of those things, sometimes we can't. But see, we all have our part to play. And if we decide to invest our hearts and our lives into the things of God and what God wants for us to do, we can make a greater impact on the community and the world around us. And we can do it together. And that's what makes it special. You know, a lot of us are the Lone Ranger. You know, we think we just don't need anybody. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy in some things. But for the most part, you know, we do need each other because each other makes us better and makes us stronger. And that leads me to what we have to do, and that's my next point, which is talking about embracing the uncomfortable. Embracing the uncomfortable. We usually try to avoid it. You know, if you have not been getting along with somebody in your family, and you have a family reunion coming up, a lot of times you avoid it, right? We avoid that family reunion. Sometimes if we don't get along with somebody at work, we'll dive another way down the hallway, or somebody in town you don't get along with and you see them on the street, you'll cross the street, just avoid them because you don't want to have to deal with that uncomfortable situation. You know, I've seen people in church, you know, that sometimes one of them will stop coming because they had an uncomfortable situation come up with somebody else. But those things are all just part of life. We all have those uncomfortable situations that we have to deal with, and we just need to learn how to do it. You know, a lot of times, you know, especially as you try to guide kids through life, they run into a lot of uncomfortable situations at school, don't they? You know, kids can be really petty. I mean, they're even more petty than adults a lot of times, usually because, you know, they're not emotionally grown up yet to some degree. So trying to get them to deal with those situations, and our goal should be to try to counsel them through those things and not pull them away and make them avoid those things. You know, we've had, you know, situations where I don't want to do this because, you know, I don't get along with this person. I says, well, have you talked to them? No. Somebody said they said this. Well, how do you know? You can't trust the other person. You know, that's what people do. They just try to stir up things and, you know, divide things. You got to find out for yourself. You know, stones are connected to each other, that they're stronger when they do that. But when you connect stones together, sometimes in life, especially in a church or being around people, you rub people. And some people rub others the wrong way, don't we? I'm speaking for myself. I'm one of those people, you either love me or hate me. I know that. I try to change, but it's just one of those deals. You know, so some people really love me. Some people, they could leave me, and that's fine. You know, I try to change and get better, but sometimes you can rub people, especially if you want to implement change in lives, and they try to avoid that. See, here's how I see the church. You have different personalities, and then you have different giftings, right? You know, God's placed gifts inside of you, and we're all at different levels of growth. And that can create some interesting opportunities when we try to work together. You know, what could go wrong in that situation? You know, we did a teaching, you know, before on the motivational gifts where you have, you know, you may have a prophecy motive gift and a mercy motive gift, and they're trying to fix something. And one of them is just wanting to love them out of it, and the prophecy is trying to tell them, get out, you know, you're sinning, you got to repent. And you've got those two people working together, and they're trying to approach it from two different ways. So there's going to be uncomfortable things that come up. It's kind of like those uncomfortable things when a husband and wife try to hang wallpaper together. You know, we did that years ago, you know, in an area of our house. I had wallpaper on that old part, and I bought this textured wallpaper. It was interesting working with my wife in that way. And, you know, and that's all good. We grew from it. At least I believe we did. I don't know. We're still together, so evidently it all worked out. But the problem is sometimes we run from opportunities to grow. And that's wrong. I believe the worst stage, you know, we're all on a journey of life, right? And, you know, some people towards the end of their journey, some are just maybe starting their journey, some are in the middle. But the worst part or stage of our journey of life is when we stop growing as a person. And that can happen. When we choose to pull away from other people and just get in our own little bubble, that's when we stop growing. It's kind of like a stagnant swamp water. Have you ever been around that? Just stagnant water just sitting there. It's just terrible. And see, that's what can happen to us if we choose to pull away from other people and maybe not deal with the situations. And I found this out, I hate to admit it, that a lot of times the uncomfortable situations usually isn't always the other person. It's usually my problem. It's my fault. And I have to deal with that if I want to grow, if I want to change and become better as a person, a better husband, you know, a better pastor, a better father, all these things. It's about growth and trying to make things better and make myself better. You know, the Bible says there that we're called to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God all through life. It's not just a portion of our life. You know, God wants us to be a part of what He's doing and to offer up a spiritual sacrifice. You know, the word sacrifice, you know, has a lot of different pictures with it, but usually the sacrifice dies, so we have to die to self. Now, challenging situations help us to grow in faith. We don't look for them all the time, but they're there. And when we avoid that social interaction, we are hindering God in the process that He wants to do to make us a better person. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And if we allow ourselves to come together and to work through these differences, and I'll be honest, a lot of times the differences, the uncomfortable situations that you and I are feeling, that uneasiness, I'd say 9 times out of 10, it's because of a misunderstanding. I really don't believe in this room right now there's anybody who is vindictive, who purposely wants to hurt somebody else in this body. I really don't believe that. But we say stupid stuff. We may say it wrong. We may hear it wrong. But I do believe that everybody here has a good heart. Amen. And really truly loves other people. Amen. And that's why it's important that we try to give other people the benefit of the doubt. Now, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about something about be a pearl. Now, I'm not much on fashion jewelry, but, you know, I was thinking about this and what a pearl is. And, you know, most of us know how a pearl is formed, because what happens is a mollusk, which either your clam, your oyster, or some other kind of critter like that, which I don't touch. I don't eat those things. But anyway, that's just my own deal. Other people like them. But what happens is a mollusk is forced to deal with something that is irritating them. And I always thought it was a piece of sand, but when I was kind of researching this a little bit, a lot of times it's not sand, it's really a parasite. A parasite goes and gets stuck in their, for lack of a better term, their mouth. And how they deal with it, if they can't get it out, is they start secreting something over it. And they keep secreting it. And then to deal with that irritant, all of a sudden after they keep putting something over it and covering it, it becomes a pearl. And see, I think maybe sometimes that's how we need to deal with irritants in our life, is we need to secrete something over it. Maybe it's the love walk. Being able to walk in love with other people. And what love is talking about is the agape kind of love, the God kind of love, which tells us that we need to overlook the other person's offense in being able to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, If you want to be a pearl in life, you have to learn to deal with irritants. Because if you don't have an irritant, you'll never get a pearl. And I'll be honest, there's not that many pearls in them. I think I read one time it's 1 in 10,000 clams or whatever has a pearl inside of it. So your odds of finding one are fairly slim, you know, if it's really that was your goal in life. But, you know, being able to deal with these things. And what I think is that if we let God deal with it, because in my years of pastoring, what grieves me is when I watch somebody run from the pain, run from the problem. Because what they fail to realize, if they don't deal with it, it's just going to follow them to the next spot in their life. And then it's going to come up again. And then they run again. And a lot of times they run out of relationships. Maybe they have somebody in their life that really loves them, really cares for them. But yet for whatever reason, they choose to run. And they walk away from that relationship instead of trying to deal with that irritating thing and allowing God to bring healing. You know, if we let the awkward and difficult situations in life refine us, don't let them define us. Because we're all in the refinement process. You know, the Bible talks about silver. When the heat's applied, the impurities come to the top. And sometimes it's painful. You know, when God kind of turns up the heat in our life from time to time, and He does. He doesn't do it all the time. We don't live in a refinery every day of our life because we couldn't handle it. But just every now and then, we'll be cruising along. Then all of a sudden, God starts to turn up the heat a little bit, and some of the yucky stuff starts to come out that you didn't even think was there no more. And all of a sudden, it's exposed. And I said, what do we want to do with that? Well, the silversmith, what he does is when it's to the top, it's wiped away. They don't try to salvage it because they're looking for the pure silver that's been refined. And see, that's what we want in our life. We want that purity. And so it's okay when you see that. Don't feel down on yourself. Maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years and all of a sudden this icky stuff starts to come out. I mean, don't get down on yourself. Just give it over to God. Let God have it. Because the goal is to be refined, not to live in the refinery. Now, since the invention of Facebook, we are surrounded by irritating people all the time, aren't we? Hypothetically, we all should be spiritual giants, you know, because we've been refined on Facebook with all the stuff going on, but it doesn't really work that way. You know why? Because we usually delete those people. But in church, you can't delete people. You shouldn't, right? We shouldn't delete each other here today. We should try to work things out and try to grow in what we feel, you know, God is challenging us to do. So them uncomfortable conversations are good for us, and we're forced to grow as a person. My last point today is about come out of your shell. You know, maybe you're in the shell and you're getting to be a pearl, but, you know, we need to learn how to deal with things. And we're going to look at this a little bit more later on in the series, some of this. But I have a way of looking at life is that we need to evaluate our barrier boundary parameters that we've set in place. And what I mean by that, we all have barriers and boundaries in our life. Now, hopefully you've set some boundaries. What are you going to allow other people to do? Let's say you're in marriage. Do you let the other person control you? Or maybe your parent, you know, and maybe, you know, you're a grown-up person right now, and your parent was a controlling person, and you're up in age now and you have your own family. Do you let that parent control your life? They're always your parent, but do they still control you? You need to set boundaries, right? You have boundaries up. I allow this, but not this. Well, then the other thing is you have barriers. Now, barriers is where you keep intruders out, right? We keep intruders out of our life and things that hurt us, people that hurt us. Now, what happens sometimes is in the barrier boundary situation is that those lines can get a little bit blurred a little bit because our boundaries can become barriers when we be hurt, when we've been hurt by other people. Maybe somebody stabbed you in the back. How many's not been stabbed in the back? I think we all have, probably at least once, right? A friend, somebody you really cared for, and you entrusted maybe with some precious information that was precious to you, or information, or maybe they've done something, taken something from you, but anyway, they've stabbed you in the back, and now you have this knife stuck in you. And so whenever you let somebody else get a little bit close, you pull away because of that pain. So if I let this person get close to me, they're going to hurt me like this other person. So then we don't want to get close no more. And that holds us back in our relationships. And we need to allow God to heal that. We need to get that knife out of there, and we need to let the healing come. Because I'll guarantee this, not everybody is out to hurt you in life. They're not. To be honest, most people are just as messed up as we are, having our own problems. And that's a fact. So we need to rearrange perhaps how we look at the situations. I'm not saying you should just, you know, throw all your information out there to somebody, but I do believe that those who have been hurt need to allow healing to come so they can get close again. Because we need that closeness in life, just like we need to be close to God. But see, a lot of people, if they've been hurt, bless God, it's just me and God, nobody else. I don't need nobody else. Bless God, I got God. But that's not how God created us. God created us for relationship with other people. Like I said last week, I mean, Adam had it all, man. He had a great relationship with God where he walked with him. He had a beautiful mind in a sense where he could name all the animals. But yet God said, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. We need other people. We need other relationships in our life to help us so that we become complete, so that we can grow as a person. Here's a great revelation I had. Maybe you have already had this. If we want friends, we need to be friendly. Right? Really simple, isn't it? You say, I don't have any friends. Are you friendly? That's the first check. You know, take an evaluation, you know, in our life. And like I said, we're going to come back to this concept probably in a couple weeks in this series. Now, here's what I think we ought to do. You can do what you want. But stop putting all the pressure on the other person to reach out to you. You need to reach out to them. A lot of times, we wait for the other person to say something before we say something to them. And if they're as messed up as we are, nothing gets said, then both leave the place thinking the other person's stuck up. Oh, yeah. I hear this. But see, I know that's not the case. But see, that's the message we send. So I know it's uncomfortable, but, you know, to get out of that shell, come out of that clamshell and be a pearl, but what we need to do is to look beyond them because, you know, so-and-so didn't say hi to me. And I, you know, you hear this with a lot of kids. So-and-so didn't say hi to me. And I say, did you say hi to them? No. Okay. What do we do now? Maybe that's why they didn't say hi to you. See, there's an ebb and flow in community or connection. There's the initiation and there's the response. You know, we need to be the initiator. How do you do that? Well, maybe you need to say hello first. Hello. Oh, that's hard, wasn't it? Hello. You know, I mean, Siri says that, right? I mean, how hard can it be? Ain't that her name? I don't know. Hello, how can I help you? Shake the person's hand. You know, just stick your hand out. I mean, sometimes they don't give it to you. Oh, well. And you look and see if there's anything on your hand. I mean, that's a second. I mean, or maybe look at your hand first before you do it. You know, but, you know, stick your hand out. Just be friendly. And then look them in the eye. So that's the initiation part of trying to meet other people. Then there's the response part. and this is just as important, you know, don't use one word answers like nope or yep. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody, you know, that's hard because here's this other person. You're just trying to reach out to somebody. I mean, you're really coming out of your shell, man. I mean, this is a big step for you. Hey, you know, how's things going today? Great. And that's it. Man, that's all I had, you know? I didn't have a second line, you know, so maybe you need to think of a second line too. No, if you're responding to people, just say, yeah, hey, it's been a good day. Things are going good for me. How about for you? You know, so it's about interaction. And I know this sounds silly, but it helps to alleviate some of the uncomfortableness that we have when we try to meet new people. And I'll be honest, like I say, it's sometimes hard to work the crowd. Some people are very good at it, you know, but I know that I have to sometimes put it in my head that I want to do it. Next, you know, after that, stay engaged by focusing on them. And this is one I struggle with because as a pastor, my goal is after I say amen, I try to run to the door to catch people. Because my, you know, I don't want to sound weird, but I enjoy touching each of you in a godly way. Shaking your hand or giving you a hug on the way out the door if I don't get a chance to greet you in the beginning. You know, but it's hard to beat some of you. Slow down. I'm getting old. You know, I can't make it to the door all the time in time. You know, so I used to in the old church because it was shorter to the door. You know, I used to be walking down the aisle before I said amen because I knew that's the only way I could beat them. But anyway, you know, so yeah, just, you know, do that. And, you know, and as we are doing it, we're supposed to be a spiritual house, the scripture says, and that's a royal priesthood. I don't know if you ever had considered yourself in the royal priesthood. Now, if this is your church, which I believe for most of you, many of it is, you're a part of this spiritual house, and God has placed your stone in the wall, and hopefully it's mortared in with love. I say this in love. I want you to see yourself as a host, not just a consumer. You know what a host is, right? A host is somebody that greets you and welcomes you to their house, right? You know, in the church of none of you guys, but I know these people who go to this other church, they see themselves as consumers. They like to go to the restaurant. They walk in, plop themselves down. What you got today for me? Huh? What do you got for me? Instead of, what can I do to make this place better? See, we need to totally rearrange our concept of the body of Christ. You know, church, yeah, I'm supposed to feed you and hope I'm giving you a little bit today to think about. Hopefully, you know, enough to, you know, stimulate some own personal looking, because I know I've been looking inside my soul about how to be better at dealing with uncomfortable situations. But hopefully we'll look at this, the fact that we see ourselves as God has placed us here. Now, we follow a great example. I don't mean myself, but I mean Jesus. If anybody should have been served, it should have been Jesus. I don't know about you, but, you know, everything that Jesus was, you know, came to do and the wisdom that he was imparting, the Word of God, because he was the Word. But the Bible said he came to serve. If Jesus came to serve, how much should we come to serve? Right? What can we do to bless somebody else? I heard a preacher say this one time, and he says, what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. And it's a law of sowing and reaping. And as we do that, as we start to get involved with other people, then we start to see, you know, God do a great change in our life. Now, if you don't think this church is perfect, which you probably think that way, at least I do, because we're not, what can I do to make it better? Or what can you do to make it better? I believe that's a good question. You know, life was never meant to be comfortable all the time. And it's okay to feel uncomfortable. Embrace it and let God have his way in our life. And then we're going to start to be refined, and we'll start to see God's character start to flow and ooze out of us. Amen? Let's pray.